Sometimes you feel like you see the state of the world, you see the condition of things, you see people struggling in so many ways, and you just, I see people and their heartaches, and it's one thing or a dozen, and you just don't hardly know what to say. Except the devil's a liar and you need to hate him, stay away from him, and that we have a better day a coming, and we need to hold on to that hope of eternal life that we have right now, and that the promise that Jesus said he will come again, that he will destroy the works of the devil, and that he will be with you right now to get you through whatever you have to go through. He says, "Now I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then to just be there for each other whenever there's times of heartache. God help us to show the kind of love that Jesus and compassion that Jesus showed to us. As we go all the way back to the beginning of things in the Bible, particularly, we have God giving us a explanation and an answer for many, many things. Today the worldview pretty much wants to exclude God from everything. I remember when I went to school, every morning we would read the Bible. One of us would be given the task of reading. This is in high school. This is a long time ago. And so we'd read a Bible verse. I didn't know where to look in the Bible for a verse. I didn't know what to look for. And then we would have a prayer, and then we would have, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." You know, it's amazing how those things get planted in your brain. Who knows where that's from? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable." Huh? Absolutely. And we would say it every day. And our kids need to hear us every day with the Word of God. And our young people, you can make your life part of the Word of God, and it can be planted there and help you throughout your life. And I wasn't a Christian at that time, so it just really, God used that to plant those words in my heart. But there's a worldview, there's science that says that there is no God, and they try to figure things out and understand them. And so, without a reason for being here, without a purpose, this world tries to go on. It fumbles along. It makes mistakes. I don't know how people make it without God. It's kind of hard enough to make it with God, but to make it without God, without something more than what we see and hear and touch and taste, but to have God that loves us and tells us who we are and why we're here, and that we have a purpose in life. So many people are just looking for a purpose. Why? What am I supposed to do? What is my calling? Why am I here? And yet God gives us answers to all of those questions. In the first chapter of the first book in the Bible, we've talked about how God created things, but he created things with a purpose. In fact, he created human beings with a purpose. He did not just make them an extension of the animal kingdom. That isn't the way it reads, is it? He made all the birds, and he made the fish. He made the land animals, and he said, "Let," what does it say there in chapter 1, verse 26? "And God said, let us make man in our image." in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Can you imagine that? We are created in the image of the Almighty that rules over everything that there is. He has placed us on high. He has set the imagination of men is so great. It's just amazing that you can imagine skyscrapers. You can imagine cures for cancer. You can imagine even things we can't see. You know, that was my problem in the upper levels of math. You know, they want to do trigonometry. What's a trigonometry? I don't know what it is. I can't see it. But we can imagine theoretical things and things we can't see. We can understand how the body works and how the mind works to a great degree. We can imagine great nations and peoples all over the world. We can imagine our families being what they could be. We can imagine our sons and daughters growing up to be godly men and women. All of those things. God wants you to set your sights high. Not just to exist. And that's why God is so big, he can have a calling on every one of our lives. He can have a purpose for you that can change the world, feed the hungry, help the poor, make a difference in the lives of so many. And yet we just kind of putter along. You know, we're like the ox or the donkey. We eat our food and we don't worry about where anything else is or what's happening. But God has created us with an amazing, amazing gifts and talents and purposes. And most of them are spiritual. He can change your heart. He can make you a new creature. And so we're going to talk about God's intentional creation. When he speaks of the creation of man, and I'm no scholar, so I'm just, if you're a scholar and I mess up these words, or if you look them up and I don't say them right, you can correct me. But this is the words that I got out of the Strong's Concordance and different places. But anyway, it says that when he says, "Let us make man in our image." The word is A-W-A-H, Awa. I don't know how you say it. Maybe that's the way you say it. Maybe it's not. But anyway, it's a different language, so it's a different word. And this word has the idea of to make something. Not to make from nothing, but to put it together, so to speak. Let us make man in our image. The second word that comes across here is in chapter 2, and it uses the word that's used in this part of the Bible a lot, is formed. And the Lord, verse 7 says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature or living soul." Now, this idea of form I like it because it says it's like squeezing it into shape. Now, you kids that like Play-Doh, do you squeeze things into shape, right? And so God, whenever he created man, he took the dust and he squeezed it into shape. In fact, this is the same word that's used for whenever a person does clay. You know, the clay pot, or they shape it, or they form it. And so God, he took and made this man with his, as it were, his own hands, and shaped him. In fact, God speaks to Israel there in, I believe it's Jeremiah there, where he says, "Here, I have made you. Shall the thing that's formed say to the thing that formed it, why did you make me this way? Why am I this way? Why am I not taller? Why am I not shorter? Why am I not skinnier? Because I eat too much." But he shaped us and formed us. And you know, we wonder why our life is sometimes the way it is. And I'm not such a fatalist like my brother, but I do believe God has his hand in where you are and why you're here and why you're in this church. And you know, the thing is, God calls us to be the best we can where he places us. Maybe your life isn't the way you wished it had been. Maybe you have some regrets. Maybe you have wish you could have done this or could do that. But you know, God put you here. He gave you your parents. He gave you gave me my wife. And I'm sure each of you are certain that he gave you your wife or spouse, and gave you your kids, gave you your heritage, gave you your occupation. And so we kind of all, when we start complaining, who are we complaining to and who are we complaining about? God expects us to take where we are and make the most of it, to be the best farmer or Air National Guard person or whatever he called you to be, housewife, radio broadcaster, whatever he called you, civil servant, I guess. Well, I don't know. He tries to straighten them out. psychologist, not psychologist, sociologist, social worker. That's what I'm trying to think of. Whatever Dave does. Or massage therapist, or working for a company that fixes copying machines. What he has made, you are in this place right now, and God wants you to do something with it, and he wants you to be the best you can and show a witness for Christ wherever you are and whatever circumstances you happen to be in. And so he forms us and shapes us and molds us. Gives us the mental capacities, the physical capacities that we have. Well, the third word that's used is bara, and that's the word that means create from nothing. And we've talked about this before because God didn't start with something. He started with absolutely nothing. In the beginning, God made, created the heavens and the earth. And he made it from nothing. And so there's part of you that God, you know, he shaped you. He shaped Adam and made Eve from his Adam's rib. But he shaped them. But he put something in them special. And that, I believe, is the Spirit of God. The ability, he made us in the image of God. Now, it says two words. It uses the word image and likeness. Okay, now, oftentimes I used to read this and I didn't quite think it through. So a lot of time when you read the Bible, you have to think it through. What's it really saying? If we just had the word image, what would we think of? What would we think of? What was the, huh? A mirror, yep, that would reflect an image. But if you made an image, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a creation. If I made a image of one of the presidents, I might do it with a paintbrush, or I might do it with a clay or some kind of bust of something, his head or whatever. Image means to be something that shows that, in fact, they used image in the scripture to speak of the false gods, the images that they would make, the copies that they would have. And so in some way, we reflect the image of God. Now, if I use the word likeness, that might not be as exact as an image, would it? It would be in the likeness of God. That might even mean some spiritual things. To be like God, we use the word godliness. How are we like God? How do we reflect his image? And so there's a lot of thoughts that, I don't know, goes through my head as I think of those things and those words. And so I was trying to think how that is. Physically, God is a what? spirit. So physically, we cannot be like God. There's no physical ability to be like God because he's a spirit. Spirit doesn't have shape, form, or dimensions or anything like it. It's something other than physical, okay? So I don't believe it's quite physical that we look like God. When it speaks of his hand, it's speaking kind of metaphorically, saying that something he does. When it speaks of, how many eyes does the Lord have, the Spirit of the Lord have? 7 eyes, they run to and fro throughout the earth. So my eyes don't run to and fro anywhere. They just kind of look. We don't want to get into a physical picture of God. In fact, that might create some problems in the way you worship, because God is not a physical entity. He's a spirit. Now, but there are other ways in which we can be like God. If we're made in his image, then we have to have some reflection of who he is. For example, mentally. Are we able to, of course, we're talking about God being, mentally, we're not even grasshoppers compared to him. We're not even a worm compared to him. Mentally, we would compare with the worms, like we might compare to God, but even that isn't a good comparison because he's so much greater. But we could say that God has a personal identity. Okay? Being a person, identifying yourself with a name, knowing that you're somebody. And so we have that personal identity. I am who I am. Every time, if you want to make somebody happy, use their name. I'm bad about remembering names, but when people don't love, they love nothing more than to hear their own name. And so you use their name. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's a self-image. I am something. I am some person. And I can understand that. And so that's one way that I'm not sure many animals have that capacity, or definitely don't have it the way we do. But we could also say the ability to think. God has a mind that's way vaster than ours, but we have an ability to think and reason and weigh and to plan. God has plans. Well, you can have plans. It's in fact, you're better off planning than not planning, right? Making a trip, you want to plan what you pack and what you take and make sure you have what you need, right? Or if you're going to do a job, to have the things that you need to do it, to plan. We also have the ability to reflect and look back and say, well, what happened here? Why did this happen? What was the reason for that? And so we have the ability to reflect. We're not a donkey. We don't need a bit and a bridle to guide us. We have something more, something better. We can think it through. You don't have to be whipped every time. You can learn. So many Christians, they don't quite learn the lessons. Whenever a kid's growing up, you pat them on the one end so that the other end doesn't do something. Well, sometimes we as adults don't get that connection. We're being paddled on one end. We're saying, well, I'm doing this over here, but why is that hitting me back there? We have to learn. And God is trying to teach us. We can learn. We are in the image of God, and he gives us the capacity to grow and get better and not make the same mistakes again and again and again and again and again. We can think about the future and think of a better way to do things. We don't have to do it I used to say, if there was a hard way to do something, I would figure that one out and end up doing it that way. You don't have to do it the hard way all the time. And God wants to make, he says, I set before you the path of life and righteousness, and choose you that way. And we were always wanting to do it our way. We always want to make it hard. We don't have to make it hard. I mean, there are things in life that are hard, but you don't have to make it harder. God wants to set before you a path of life, a path of hope, a path of peace, a path of joy. Just obey. That's all he's asking. If we would obey him and follow him and seek after him. Israel, every time things got going good, they would fall away and go find other gods to worship. Maybe we don't do that as much. But how many times do we slow down on our devotional time and our worship time and our prayer time and our Bible reading whenever things are going good? That's the time we should be doing more of it. He wants us to have a special place in his heart. He wants to be our God and us to be his people. He wants to guide us in the right way, and yet we don't want to follow. Our rebellious nature says, no, I don't want to do it. I don't care if you're right or not. I want to do it my way. I want this. I want that. And we need to learn. I was thinking about Psalm 119 this week, and how many times it's his statutes, his laws, his ways, his precepts. I don't forget, there was about five different things that they had all the way through Psalm 19. If you will follow them. If you will follow them, it will change your life. And it's so easy. I wonder why it's so hard, but it's so easy. All we have to do is do what he says. He doesn't make it complicated. He makes it easy. Just do what I say, God says. And yet we have to make things harder and more complicated. Well, shortly after this man, human race, Eve gave man the apple and Adam ate it, right? Says he gave him one rule. One rule, and they couldn't follow that. So he gave this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. They ate it, and they fell. And the whole human race fell with them. We have marred. We were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and we have corrupted that. We've destroyed that as a race. Every child from Adam on, from Adam and Eve on, had the mark not following God. And so God, the whole story of salvation, the whole plan of the Bible is to get us back to that image that we were created in. To get us back there. The purpose of salvation is to regain that likeness, regain that image. Look with me to Romans chapter 8, and we find this image of God, that we are to be in his likeness, and that the plan of salvation is to get us there. Romans chapter 8. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, that not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body. So we have this need of God. We have this need of salvation, and he's offered it to us. In fact, if we go down to verse 29, we read verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants us back. What did he do to get us back? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's why we're doing baptism day, because he calls his children. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, justification, that's making it right, making your life right before God. That is to bring us back to this image. spiritually speaking, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, what happens? What happens? It says, whenever we accept Christ as our image, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means we're His again. And He blots out all our sins. That means that He sees us, the way He sees us is in the image of His Son. Our sins are forgiven. They're blotted out. They're not to be remembered. And it's that simple step of saying yes to the Lord, of repenting of our past sins, of saying, yes, I'll follow You. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll go where You want me to go. If we look at chapter 3 of John, justification, making it right with God, accepting His gift of salvation, justification restores this spiritual likeness. It brings us back into right relationship with God, where we all need to be. Chapter 3, of John, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he's old? Truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye be born of the water and of the Spirit, ye cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. If we're going to have the image of God, we need a miracle worked in our lives. Internally, we have to be born again. That's a change. That's a renewal. That's from the day that we're born again, we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. There is a beginning point, and that's why we do baptism. Because this is marking the beginning point where I used to live for me and for the devil and for the world, and now I live for the Lord. It's a change. It's a renewal. It's a recreation. You're new creatures, a new creation. Sanctification is the process of taking that new birth. Now, you guys that are being baptized and you guys that have been baptized and us adults that need to maybe remember when we were baptized, after we are justified, made right with God, there is this continual process. We repent of the things we did in the past. We give up the things that we held to. But now there's this process of making us not just in the image of God, but in the likeness of God, to have His character, to have His attitude. Every one of us, when we're born again, that's a great time, and we must do it, have it. But we have to also be changed and renewed day by day by day. We have to crucify the old man. We have to live to the new. We have to mortify the deeds of the body. You are not perfect when you're baptized. How many of you are perfect when you're baptized? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sins are blotted out. But I guarantee you, this old nature gets a hold of me, doesn't it, you? Those old desires, those hard-headed, carnal, immoral attitudes that we all have, that still have a hold of us, and God wants to free you from that. And so the process is to become holy, to be sanctified, to be renewed every day. That's why we have church. That's why you have a preacher. That's why you encourage one another. That's why you have brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you day by day by day to be that new person that God has called you to be. We are sanctified. We are made into the after the image of His dear Son. As we reflect on Jesus, that reflection reflects back on us. The more we focus on Jesus Christ, the more we focus on His Word, the more we're in meditation about what God wants us to be, Our life needs to be spent just focusing on Him. So many times we get distracted with the world and with life and with other things, and we miss the thing that we are to absolutely have our hearts and minds focused on, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. As we reflect on Him, as we reflect on His cross and what He did and how much God loves us and showed it through the death of Jesus, as we reflect on His attitude and words, He that hears my words and what? Does them. You have to reflect on them and think about, what does it mean to bless them that curse me? What does it mean to forgive those that have harmed us? What is it? Have I brought my whole life under subjection to the life of Christ? Or am I still fighting against Him and fighting with Him? Am I still fighting that battle? Am I still like the horse that needs the bridle and always wants to go off the path? Or am I excited to be on the path of God, excited to be doing His will? Do I love His commandments? Or do they make me chafe a bit and want to resist? Well, we were in the image of God and in His likeness. Human race fell. We still have a bit of that image with us yet. But we were born again to have that, recreate that image. We are justified to show His image or to make His image right in our lives. We are justified and sanctified so that His likeness, His character, becomes our character. But we also have, we're glorified. And it's interesting that in Romans it speaks of it in the past tense. One day we will carry the full image of the one who saved us. Look with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 15, or 1 Corinthians 15. And let's look at this verse that explains the final answer or conclusion of the whole thing, the whole of eternity, why God made us and how He made us and how He made us to be sons of God and what we are to be. Now, if I can find 1 Corinthians, I know it was in here last time I looked. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start at, let's see, we'll start at 49. It says, as we have borne, now look at this word again, image. As we have borne the image, because not only did we have the image of God, but we have the image of the world, the imprint of the world on us, the imprint of our parents, so the imprint of our life and the hopes and dreams that haven't been fulfilled, and all the, we carry a little bit of baggage, all of us, from our lives. As we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. See, the final change will come at the resurrection. The final change. You work at it all this life, so that you have a hope that you will live forever and be changed. If we work at it all this life, and I'm not saying it's us that saves us, it's God that changes us, but as we let His character influence, and as we have His salvation and we let His character influence us all our lives, then it says we will have the image of Jesus. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death, as it is written, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We shall see him, our Savior, Jesus, as he is. Now we look through a glass darkly. Now it's just kind of, we're getting glimpses and we're getting reminders and the Holy Spirit's working on us. But then we will see him as he is. We'll see him face to face. And we will be changed. The change, there's a change. Okay, you start, we had the image of God, we lost it. We find Jesus, and we're born again. New creatures. And as time goes on, He changes our character. He changes our life. He works through all our problems. And so we have that sanctification period. And then we come face to face with him in the resurrection, and we are changed. The change from here to here is a great change. When you're born again, it's a great change, isn't it? And the change from our new birth to the time he comes again should be a dramatic change. It should be a dramatic change. It's not just you stay where you were. It's a dramatic change. He changes your character. He changes your nature. He changes your attitude. He changes your loves. The things you used to love and the things you used to... He changes everything about you. But then, when he comes again, that next change is going to be another one. It's going to shift it into overdrive. You will not have this old body to weigh you down. You'll have a new body. You won't have, it'll be such a dramatic change. What a glorious day that will be. But we have to hold on to the end. The crown is not given to him that runs the race, but to him that finishes the race. And so our job right now is to let his changing power work in our lives, to recreate us every day toward the image of Christ, so that one day when he comes again, we will be ready for that wonderful kingdom. And I guarantee you, what you know now won't compare to what you'll know then. What you do now won't compare to what you do then. The joy that you have now will not compare to the joy you will have then. You will not be disappointed, because he has that promised hope, that guarantee. When you look for him, he will give you that life that you... He'll wipe away all those disappointments and tears. He'll wipe away all that sorrow. And he will give you a joy that you can't even imagine if you just hold on to him. There's one way under heaven, one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one way to the Father. There is one way to eternal life. That is that man, Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so our closing song, number 100.